Hello, everyone, and welcome to Connections. I'm Bill Newell, along with Rick Moore, here on the program on this beautiful Thursday. Rick, good morning. Welcome.
Well, good morning. It is beautiful, Bill, and there are signs that things are getting better.
Well, we have the governor's supposed to be making the reopening advisory on May 18th. And, you know, it's hard to believe, Rick, but we're right in the middle of May here, mid-May here.
Jesus, where have I heard that before?
I know. And so we have a fixation on this program about mid-May. And so here we are just about mid-May, I think. The 14th pretty much qualifies for mid-May. And that comes out on the 18th, so just 4 days away. So it'll be happening soon. But, Rick, what do we have on the program here today?
I think everybody is looking forward to Monday to see, you know, what the plan is. And even those who are very conservative about staying in and obeying all the guidelines, I think, again, anecdotally, are anxious to get out and to do something and maybe to see some kind of reopening. And the Gloucester Public Health Director has some good news along those lines. They have begun the reopening task force in Gloucester, of which she is the chair. But she also mentions in our interview coming up on Connections that the numbers are trending downward in Gloucester, the COVID numbers and the numbers of cases and so on. And that's a really positive sign. We'll also be checking in with Essex Police Chief Paul Francis, who updates what's happening in the town. And then we'll be checking in with Heather Atwood. She's one of the co-hosts of the Gloucester Update on 1623 Studios and, of course, a very familiar voice to MSO visitors.
You know, I know she's way beyond the cooking thing, but now that we have time to cook, Rick, I mean, it would be great if she would come back and share some recipes with us, you know?
Well, she's going to talk about that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Good point.
All right. Connections just ahead here. Again, Karen Carroll just ahead here on Connections here on MSO News Sports.
Joining us now once again is the Public Health Director in the city of Gloucester, Karen Carroll. And Karen, thank you so much for being with us once again. Appreciate it.
Hi. Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Let's have an update. It's been a couple of weeks since we've talked to you, and of course, much has transpired in that time, not the least of which has been forming of a reopening task force in Gloucester. But where would you like to start?
Yeah. Why don't I give you a little background, and then we'll talk about the reopening task force. So we have continued to see a fairly steady, fairly regular decline in some of those key indicators I've talked to you about before. So hospitalizations, the number of deaths, the number of new cases or the percentage of new cases. So we've had a couple of blips, you know, a couple of little spikes here and there throughout the past 2 weeks. But generally speaking, all of those indicators have been trending downward. So that's a good sign, and that's what we were looking for with reopening for both the state and locally. We are not at zero community transmission, so we really, you know, need people to be cautious when they think about reopening. It will be gradual. We still have COVID-19 being transmitted throughout our communities and throughout Massachusetts. So it's important that we go slow with our reopening and, you know, ease back into things so we don't have a spike and we don't have to go back and start over or take some back steps. So I think what we can expect next week, the governor is already giving us little pieces of guidance that his team is producing and offering. There'll be great guidance that will come out of the governor's office, very, very specific for all kinds of industries and agencies. So we've established a local reopening committee task force, and we don't want to recreate the work that's being done in the governor's office, and we don't have the resources for that. But there, our local committee is doing a couple of things. It's going to help identify some of the training needs and some of the resources that businesses will need to put in place before they can reopen. So the governor has released some certain sort of standards and workplace protocols. He's already shared some of those with us. And we're trying to get it out to businesses locally and agencies so they can understand the types of things that will be expected from them. And they're simple hygiene things, cleaning things, and the main thing is physical distancing. Businesses have to figure out how to keep people 6 feet apart at all indoors. So that's a real challenge, especially for some of our smaller businesses. And so locally, we wanted to work on that with people to really think through these requirements, as soon as we can and start helping them resource any technical expertise they might need, any trainings, any materials, that kind of thing. That's where we're at.
It sounds very comprehensive, Karen, both on the state level and so on. A question I have, the beaches closed for people being able to walk on them, and especially at low tide, it seems that there's a vast amount of area where people could get some exercise without violating social distancing, and yet those places are closed. More people, it seems to me, just anecdotally, are congregating on the boulevard because that's the one place that is scenic where people can...
...from parks, rec, trustees, the beaches, those sorts of things, our city, DPW. So we'll be looking at exactly those things. How can we encourage people to get out and get exercise but keep spread out and stay 6 feet apart? And then what types of associated facilities, trash and bathrooms, and how do you manage those? So those are all of the key things that our groups will be thinking through. They'll be trying to figure out how to use these parks, how to be creative, and how to encourage people to use different places and do it safely. So we'll be looking and working with other area communities as well, and we actually have some researchers with us from some schools of public health in Boston, and they are doing research for us as well as we go on all of these issues. So that's been terrific. We're trying to keep our approach based on the science and based on what we know are the highest risk places and activities and populations, always considering those things first, and then giving that general guidance to people. So the other main objective of our task force is to hear from people in the community about ideas they have, about concerns they have, things like that you just mentioned. So we have an email that we've set up, and I'd like to read it to you, and I can send it to you as well, where people from the community can send an email on any ideas, thoughts, concerns, questions about reopening for any aspect of the city. So it could be business, parks, seniors, youth, jobs, whatever it is, and they can send it through to reopening@gloucester-ma.gov. So again, it's reopening@gloucester-ma.gov, and we encourage people, we'll be putting Facebooks and websites, to email us and give us your thoughts, ideas, anything that you may be worried about or you may have thought about. And this will go on through the summer, so we want to have a place where people can email the city and our subcommittees. They can give us feedback on how things are working, what's not working, what they might still be concerned about. And, you know, as we go, we're going to have to kind of tweak this and keep moving forward. So we hope that email will be a great system. And then we have a person at the other end who goes through the emails and gets them to the appropriate subcommittee to take into consideration. So, yeah, that's kind of in a nutshell our process. And we will look forward to sharing recommendations and things that come out of that task force when we have some.
Okay, and what should we expect for the next task force update, I guess we'd call it? When might that be?
Yeah, the task force is meeting as a whole group tomorrow, but it's really just our first full meeting. We're really trying to get these subcommittees up and going and this email, the opening email, up and going and promoted this week. So as you know, the 18th is Monday. It's approaching fast, and I believe the task force is going to have a meeting on the 19th to sort of look at the governor's recommendations, look at what we've been hearing locally and how this might add to the recommendations from the governor to roll them out here slowly in Gloucester. So I imagine next week we'll have some kind of recommendations or something that will go along with the governor's plans and recommendations that he's putting out of his office. I think probably next week we'll definitely be, we're actually going to be putting out some information and communication at the end of the week as well as the subcommittee start generating information.
Very good. Karen, thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you for all that you're doing.
I know
you're not getting a lot of sleep, so have a pleasant rest of the day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Karen.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is Karen Carroll, who is the public health director in the city of Gloucester. I don't know what the static was, but you got the message from Karen. This is MSO News Sports.
A daily news podcast for the North Shore, North Shore Today. North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, as we keep you connected with the North Shore.
We're back now with the Essex Fire Chief, Paul Francis. And Chief, welcome back to MSO. I hope things are going well.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me. Things are going pretty much status quo. We're kind of in the same boat as everybody else, trying to keep one step ahead of it. As you know, things are constantly evolving here, so once we have one policy or put out one general order, it changes the same day, and so we're just trying to keep up, but we're doing okay.
Chief, what's been the biggest challenge for your department so far? Because I know that you had to change shifts and everything, and I'm sure that was quite disruptive to the men and their families. How'd that go, or how is that going, I should say?
Actually, that went pretty well. We've dialed that back now. We're back to 8-hour shifts. And of course I put the officers on notice that, if we have any illnesses or what have you, or if something changes, we may have to go back to the 12-hour shifts. But for the time being, we've gone back to our normal 8-hour shifts.
Well, that seems like good. Well, that's good. So what has been, if any, what's the biggest challenge for your department at this point?
In all honesty, like I say, the biggest challenge is changes. I mean, we're navigating changes almost by the minute. And the other thing we're trying to do is we're trying to be sensitive to the fact that, this is all so new, not to just us in police and fire, but also just to the public as far as mask orders, where they can go, what they can do, what they can't do. There's a fine line because we certainly don't want to come off like heavy-handed. So what we're doing is we're trying to educate people when we have situations or somebody, if we have a caller regarding people not wearing masks or what have you, we're doing our best to educate them, and we also carry masks. I have masks in each cruiser, so if we have a situation like that, there may be somebody that doesn't have a mask or they're confused about the law, so we'll educate and we'll give them a mask.
that's pretty incredible. I know I talked to a former police chief, and he said the thing that he wanted his officers to do was to exercise discretion. And I know in Essex it's a very similar thing. You guys are as much, I don't want to use the word babysitters, but you're really caretakers of the public. And has there been any stress on that level, in terms of people complaining about other people not wearing masks or, not having stores open, that kind of thing?
We've had some of that. It hasn't been too bad as of yet because we haven't really had, the weather for people to really be out and about for the most part. We've had days here and there where they've been out, but my concern is going forward as it starts to get warmer. I'm told it's supposed to be up around the 70s this weekend. That's when I get concerned. And let's be honest, everybody's feeling pent up and
yeah,
isolated. So that's a concern as well. We're finding that we do have a little uptick in mental health type calls, and of course we're sensitive to that, so we deal with them as they come. But we have to be sensitive to that.
Yeah, that's not surprising. I'm talking with the Winthrop Police Department tomorrow, and they have a program similar to PARI in terms of mental health and so on. And I guess that's the other thing, Chief, is that has there been, and this is a very sensitive question, has there been an uptick in maybe either alcohol abuse or opiate abuse, that kind of thing in the town? Because people are getting pretty anxious at this point.
Yeah, people are stressed and they need some sort of an outlet. Not that that's a good outlet.
Yeah.
We're finding a little bit more as far as the alcohol calls, types of calls.
Mm-hmm.
Not knock on wood, not so much with the drugs at this point, but I do worry as time goes on and people are more and more isolated that it doesn't become a little more troublesome, let's say.
All right, final question, Chief. This thing has gone in stages, and as you say, it's very fluid. It changes from day to day. Well, what's the next step? What do you get your direction from the governor? I mean, I know it goes to the Board of Selectmen and so on, but where does your direction come from in terms of what happens next?
We are doing a lot in collaboration with the local Board of Health and the Board of Selectmen and, of course, the town administrator. We are constantly emailing, having conferences, running ideas by each other. We pretty much, I mean, I get a lot of stuff from the Mass Chiefs of Police and MEMA, and what we'll do is we'll keep each other informed. If I get sort of some guidelines or what have you from the Mass Chiefs, I'll discuss it with the Board of Health and the Selectmen and the Town Administrator, and we'll try to take from all the different agencies and what have you and come up with the best plan.
It sounds like you're pretty busy in this time of where everybody else is stuck indoors. You guys are smoking.
Yeah, we really are. It's just a lot of what we're doing is different for us. I mean, obviously, it's that way for everybody who's been involved in a pandemic of this nature. But yes, we are busy. A lot of it is kind of a change in what's normal for us.
Yeah.
We are starting to see more, you know, for instance, we had a motor vehicle stolen, we had a boat taken, and people out there trying to take advantage of people at their most vulnerable state as they are right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Chief, because that's something we should be diligent about. And I'm sorry, but I do have one more question. In terms of getting food to kids, you know, in the kids programs, the school programs, and the needy and anybody else like that, overall, how are things working in town?
There are some groups that actually are making sure that they're getting meals to those that need it. There's people in town who've actually made like makeshift boxes outside of their homes, and people can drop off the food there. And then they'll get together and they'll ask us, you know, if there's anybody that we know of that might need food. So we're working with various groups around town, the school groups and what have you.
Chief, I know you're very busy. Thank you for taking the time. And for heaven's sake, stay safe. Stay safe.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Rick.
Thank you, Chief. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
That is the Essex Police Chief, Paul Francis.
A daily news podcast for the North Shore, North Shore Today. North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, as we keep you connected with the North Shore.
Okay, we're back now with a very familiar voice, Heather Atwood, now of 1623 Studios. Heather, welcome back.
Thank you, Rick. It's so nice to talk to you again. I miss our coffees at Pleasant Street. I miss Pleasant Street. That's no longer there, and I miss you.
I know. Well, it's mutual, but I get to watch you and Corey and the great interviews that you're doing on 1623, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about what that is. What are 1623 Studios, and what are these updates that you guys are doing and doing so well, I should say?
Oh, thank you. Well, yes, so 1623 Studios is the rebranded name for Cape Band Television, which has been around for many years, and it is still Channel 12. If you go to the local community television, it's Channel 12. And Corey and I had actually been slated to start kind of a new local program this spring called Cape Band Today. We were supposed to be sitting in the studio right on Pleasant Street and interviewing people from the Gloucester Times every day. We would always have a reporter from the Times and check in with what they were writing about that day, and then maybe one or two other guests. Maybe we'd have Rick Moore on. But then this whole crisis hit the country, and we didn't even have time to say, well, we're not doing that now. I kind of said, you know, we should talk to the Open Door. They're going to be a really important entity. Well, how should we do it? And I said, I don't know. I've got my phone here. I'll call Julie LaFontaine. And after about maybe, I know it was 2 days and many tries with Julie LaFontaine, the two of us figuring out how to Skype with each other, how to keep a connection together, how to, like, make our face land in the screen and talk, we produced this little interview that 1623 posted on their Facebook page. And then from there, it seems like, well, we should be talking to certainly the mayor and maybe Bruce Tarr and maybe what's going on at Cape Ann Animal Aid and what's going on with the animals. And then it just suddenly, this and the director of public health, we have this instantly very long list of people who it seemed would be important to talk to as this crisis began to emerge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really how it happened. And then we realized most people can't use Skype, and then we moved to Zoom, and then now we are all, as everybody knows, everybody is an expert in Zoom. But we recently re-interviewed Julie LaFontaine, and it's only been 4 weeks, or at that point it had only been 4 weeks since she and I had that first kind of fumbling interview. And she and I just sort of laughed and said, wow, remember then when we were trying to figure this whole thing out and how to do these interviews remotely? And now, you know, she's a pro, and she's got her phone there, and she knows just how to prop it up, and she's walking around the whole open door, showing us everything. So we've come a long ways in terms of remote interviews.
Well, I got to tell you, you and Julie have faces for this stuff. I'm not sure about Corey, but you guys do. I kid. But, you know, Corey is well known, too, because of the bridge of Cape Ann. And the stuff you're doing, Heather, is so timely. You're getting these interviews. You're getting people to talk with you. It's especially cool to watch Taylor Ann Bradford of the Gloucester Times, to watch Sean Horgan, to watch Dr. Rabin, to watch all these people with the expertise that you're getting, and you're keeping people up to date.
Well, that's what we hope to do. You know, that's the one thing about doing these remote interviews. It doesn't mean, you know, do the interview and then go back to a desk and then write the story. We do the interview and it just goes right up. So, for instance, tomorrow there is going to be a rally around the light installation on the White Ellery House. You know about that? That's thanking the healthcare providers, healthcare workers.
Yes, yes, yep. But you can mention it.
Yeah. So the Cape Ann Museum and Stephanie Benenson, who is a local artist, has created this light installation that is projected to the White Ellery House, which is that very old building on the Rotary. Which Rotary is that? I always get them wrong.
That's Grant Circle. Yep.
Thank you, Grant Circle. And it is only projected up there from, I think, Wednesday night through Friday night, and tomorrow night on Thursday there will be a rally in which people will remain in their cars. The cars will all meet at O'Malley Middle School, and at 8:45 in the evening they will drive in procession around down to the White Ellery House to see the projected installation on the building, and they will drive around the circle, I believe, two times. I'm not quite sure if that's exactly how it goes. But if they're meeting at O'Malley Middle School at 8:30 tomorrow, the public is invited to stay in their cars and drive in procession and, of course, honk and cheer to thank the healthcare workers as they drive by this installation. So I tell you all that to say that I was sitting at my desk this morning thinking, you know, I would like to ask Stephanie Benenson, who created this thing, some questions. And I thought, I'll just email her. And she emailed me back, and we're having a conversation tomorrow morning. So hopefully we will be able to post that conversation, and people will learn more about the artist and where the inspiration came from, and even more about her larger production, which is called Harbor Voices.
Now, I have to ask you, Heather, before the 2018 elections, you traveled across the country with a spectacular program called the Mid-Pod. And you did stuff that was awesome, you know, you talked to the local folk, and it was a major thing. But I got to ask you about what you're doing right now, because this is an immediate impact, and you guys are getting feedback, are you?
A lot of people are saying thank you. And what we're really trying to do is get these important messages out, you know, from the Director of Public Health. And, of course, the Gloucester Times is doing this really well. We are trying to amplify their stories. So that's why we talk to Taylor Bradford twice a week, and we try to talk to Sean Horgan at least once a week. So, you know, we are hopefully working in collaboration with them. And our mission is really just to get these messages out into the community that are so important. And, yeah, we are getting some good feedback for that. Thanking us for.
I think the word amplify is terrific, and that's exactly what you guys are doing, you and Corey and 1623. Is this a production, or do you guys handle that, just the two of you?
We pretty much just do, well, no, I shouldn't say that. So we do the Zoom interview, and we do send it to editors at 1623, Lisa Smith and Becky Tober, who are wonderful.
Oh, I know Lisa,
and
yep.
They really don't do very, they don't do any editing. That's why, you know, every bumble is in there. And they kind of just package it up with a mortise so that the, when you're watching the interview, you can see the name underneath. But that's really it. So it's pretty, you know, hard scrabble production. But there's a little bit of light.
All right. And finally,
happening.
You know, a couple of other questions, Heather. What are you getting from this? What have you learned? What's your feeling about what's going on right now with the people you talk with?
Well, this week we've done a series of interviews on reopening, you know, how the state will reopen, but of course we're just talking to local people, and we're trying to get a sense of that. And I have a feeling that people are very nervous still and very cautious of the economics of all this, but both feeling as if this is going to be a hard thing to figure out, because, and I think you may have heard my husband's interview, Dr. David Rabin, and he finishes the interview saying, you know, we just want people to be safe. We want to do this so that people can feel confident about going, coming to see him as a physician, or, and I think other people feel that we all want everyone to be able to go into the world confident and that they will be safe, and that is a tricky thing to do. How do we address restaurants? I mean, that's really going to be a hard one for this economy. No.
And I think that you guys are investigating that and getting the word out, and that helps. When people see what other people are feeling and thinking, it helps it helps validate or refute what you're thinking and say, okay, I didn't realize that. Now, Heather, finally, the best way for people to avail themselves of what you guys are doing is how?
Well, you can go to the 1623 Facebook page, and if you have not yet, you can like that page. And if you like that page, you will, our interviews will come through your, you know, Facebook feed. You can also scroll around the 1623 Facebook page and look for some of these interviews. And you can also go to the 1623 YouTube site, and all the interviews are there also.
That is fantastic. Anything else you want to mention about 1623, about your work, or do you have food for thought back? Is that still around?
Oh, I have. I've been pretty negligent with food for thought, although I will tell you that 1623 is working on a cooking show that is really in response to the COVID crisis. But I think it has legs. A young woman named Meg Graziano is working on developing this whole concept. I'm working with her on it, and as is 1623, we're trying to figure out how to shoot it. But the concept is great. It's just really simple cooking, and, you know, home cooking, but with a little bit of a modern touch. So she has a great sensibility, and it's also, she hopes to, you know, highlight local ingredients, but highlight inexpensive ingredients. And not, this isn't fancy cooking, but it's just kind of updated enough so we're not talking about Betty Crocker.
Okay.
Anyway, that's kind of fun. It's been really fun to work with her and to talk about food again, because I have not done that so much.
And I know you're going to find something that is respective to what this historic event is right now, that's going to pertain to food and to recipes and all that other stuff, because a lot of stuff is going on. Heather, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. And that is Heather Atwood of 1623 Studios.
This is Connections here on MSONewsSports.com. A couple of notes here to wrap up the program. Rick, we have Steve Barrett. This is in the Salem News, a story today that he gave 13 Danvers police cruisers a deep cleaning Wednesday morning during a shift change, thanks to his Peabody cleaning business that tackles COVID-19 cleaning. Barrett, who lives in the town, said that he reached out to both the Danvers police and the fire departments, offering them free cleaning for their fleets. The town's Department of Public Works is already cleaning the fire truck and police cruisers twice a week, but Barrett's the owner of Advanta Clean, of the North Shore, said that they're not giving them, what did he say? They said they're not giving them a whatever it is. But anyways, nice job cleaning up. I'm going to maybe right on the side of my car. Danvers police, maybe park it somewhere where he might see it and see what he can
good
do.
Luck. I was thinking the same thing. Good luck with that. But what a nice gesture. And we're finding more and more of those stories. And that gives you hope, Bill. And, you know, like I said before, I've been looking for a long time now to see you know, a little ray of sunshine here, figuratively speaking. And it seems we're getting that. We're seeing more stories of people helping out. And then finally, at least in Gloucester, the numbers, the actual statistics are trending downward, thank goodness. So that's good. And another trend downward, according to Taylor Ann Bradford in today's Gloucester Times, is that the area police chiefs on Cape Ann, that is to say Rockport, Manchester-by-the-Sea, Essex, and Gloucester, are all seeing a downtick in crime. But one of the upticks they're getting is that, according to the Gloucester police chief, they're getting calls, more and more reports of people walking outside without a mask. So I chuckle, but I guess it's serious to some people. So they are. But the good news is that, you know, crime is down. I guess across the region, it's about, or at least on Cape Ann, it's down about one third. And again, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to tell. You know, it's hard to tell whether crime is down or attempted crimes are down, because, like you said, a lot of people are wearing face masks. You know, it's not just the house burglars, right? You know.
Well, yeah, and what's interesting is if you're not wearing a face mask, you're getting called.
Yeah, exactly.
To the police. So yeah, it's bizarro world from the Superman comics.
Yeah, personal.
I think I want to mention is
putting a new meaning to the word personal space. Yeah, give me some personal space. Yeah, all right.
God, I know. I want my space. And of course, we mentioned in North Shore today that Red Cross has blood drives in the area, and I guess they're drive-throughs. Or the point is, you have to register. You got to call the Red Cross number, check in. It's 1-800-RED-CROSS. But there are going to be Red Cross blood drives in Gloucester, Beverly, and Danvers coming up. And I ask you to consult your local Red Cross for that. Call a Red Cross, but all through the month of May, there are blood drives in the area that are critical for those in need. And if you're healthy and you're able to do so, then you're encouraged to do so. Again, just call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
Nice. You know, we did have the guy on from the Red Cross a few weeks ago. And the good news on that is they still need blood and donations. But because of the cancellation of most of the elective surgery, where they would normally give a lot of blood to hospitals or provide blood, I don't mean give, but provide blood to hospitals, that demand is down while the other demand in other areas is up. But clearly, again, something that they still need blood donations. And I've got to be thinking that elective surgery is going to be ramping back up sooner rather than later. Anyways, you would hope so. So
yeah, I would think that that's going to be a big thing very, very quickly. Yeah. I do want to mention, Bill, that tomorrow we'll be having a chat with Winthrop, if everything goes well, with Winthrop Police Sergeant Sarko Jajarian about a PARI-like organization that they have in Winthrop that supports PARI. And he's got an interesting take on this, you know, the emergency right now and how it is affecting people as well. We will be talking with Newburyport Vice President of the Chamber of Commerce, the Greater Newburyport Chamber of Commerce, Mark Yanocello. Next week, we just have not been able to connect this week for various reasons. We had planned on talking today, but that's not going to happen. But we'll be talking with him next week about what's going on in the fair city of Newburyport.
All right, do check back again. Connections Daily here on MSO News Sports, and we'll have more on tomorrow's show as well. Might be some other surprises in there as well. I mean, boom, a surprise, possibly. You never know. Right. Well, Rick, you have a great Thursday. It looks like a fantastic day out there today. So yeah, I'm hoping maybe you bring the podcast along with you on your walk today with your face mask on and your earplugs in. Whatever. How about that?
Well, I might not even have the earplugs. I might just announce it to the world so yeah, Everybody will listen as I walk along.
You and your MSO boombox out there.
There you go.
Imagine somebody banging out there with their top down, driving down Main Street, Gloucester, on a beautiful day like today, booming out the Connections program on their woofers and whatever they might have.
I have to say this, Bill. No, I can't imagine that. But
no, me neither.
Nice try.
No, okay. That's just it'd be crazy. All right, that's it for Connections. Thanks so much for joining us. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsSports.com.